The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Romans 11, we are in the consideration of verses 25 through 27. For your notes. And then we will move on to the, well, we'll see what we get. All right, I won't say anything. All right, let's take the usual time to remember that we are vulnerable to, even if we're positive, we are vulnerable to our sin nature. Whenever a believer fails, and fails permanently, it has to do with the sin nature. At some level, that it has to be involved. They are not isolating it. They're not in fellowship. They're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. They're not walking in love. Period. When believers get twisted around with regard to whatever it is, so it is rebound that clears the decks and gets us in fellowship and gets us ready for the information specifically that is in front of us and that we've been working on in this, at least in this chapter. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through our positive volition and your grace, we are being delivered from the corruption that is prevalent and pervades the cosmos. Thank you for this opportunity, this Bible class, and all of the things that make it possible for us to assemble and hear the word of truth this side of phase 3. Bless our understanding in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're dealing here with Israel and the church. We're dealing with the fall of Israel, the rise of the church, the removal of the church, and the rise of Israel again, back into preeminence. We haven't got that far on the timeline, but we're getting close. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, the mystery of the hidden dispensation. Well, hidden, not necessarily the dispensation, but the particular makeup of the people that would constitute God's personal representatives before humanity on the earth, the Gentiles. The Gentiles come front and center, at least enough of them to merit a church age. And the mystery is this mystery, which he expands upon elsewhere later in Romans. Actually, almost at the very dead end of the book of Romans, he makes more reference to this mystery that was only partially understood through the prophecies of the Old Testament that dealt with the rise of a replacement people for Israel. That's in their prophecies, at least in two places. And their first great prophet, Moses, and the great prophet Isaiah. If there are other references, at least these are sufficient. They are clear as they can be that Israel's unbelief, rebellion against the true teachings relative to their Messiah would result in another people to be named later, to be identified later, because the Old Testament prophets, this was not revealed to them, the nitty-gritty of it, the details. They just knew another nation was going to surface. So your normal mentality would have been back then, well, what nation do you think this might be? And you would be wasting your time. because it's a supra, S-U-P-R-A, a supra nation, a nation that transcends the nations, made up of individuals from all of the nations who are born again. That would be the new nation. That couldn't possibly be understood from the Old Testament. It was not revealed. So they ran into, they could only go so far with it, but what they could know and should have known, and some did and accepted it, that Israel's failure would be so severe that God would have to set them aside. In the sense of set them aside, doesn't mean to wipe out the Jewish race. It just means that you're no longer my representatives before the nations. You were in Old Testament times, but you're not now. And that happened officially. Officially, it locked in on the day of Pentecost. And even though all the people there on the day of Pentecost were essentially Jewish believers, but as this thing moved forward into the church age, all these Gentiles are coming around and turning from their vanity and embracing the truth about the Messiah that the Jews corporately managed to reject. You know, there is no excuse, none. When things are proven and documented, there is no excuse. People are just stubborn, hostile, and will not humble themselves under it. The Jews that were the exceptions are like the apostles and this early group. Yes, they were phenomenal. They were wonderful. But they weren't like their corporate brethren in the flesh. So that you'll not be wise in your own estimation, that you think that somehow we were chosen because we're special. No, you weren't chosen because you were special. If it had been based on merit, God would have never chosen the Gentiles. It was based on His mercy and grace and their positive volition. That just happened to have a big upswing at the onset of the church age and beyond. And all this evangelism that has gone on all these centuries since the birth of the church in 33 A.D. on the day of Pentecost is the result. Not that all these are good Christians, by far, no. But the fact is that they were good enough corporately, the body of Christ on earth, to represent God and the Word of God before the unwashed, the unclean, in the nations, unbelievers. That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now that needs to be broken down. First of all, a partial hardening. It's not permanent. It's partial. Yes, it involves lots of Jews through time. The numbers are staggering of all the Jews that have lived since then and lived on the earth in their Jewish communities or wherever they scattered among the nations and now back in Israel. This hardening corporately is partial. There's going to be a sea change, a major one. We're on the horizon of it when this generation of Jews are not like their ancestors. They are out there today. And, of course, more of them will be added as the millennium cranks and Israel is the number one nation on earth, bar none, in every way you can name it, spiritually, materially, etc., etc. All the good things that would characterize a nation. In other words, they will inherit the promise in the blessing clause of the Mosaic Law, where Moses ends up talking about the blessing. If you do what you're supposed to do in the land, these are the kind of things that are open for you. Not all of them at once, but these are the things I'll do for you. If you stick with this law and abide by it and stay with the truth, this is what I'll do for you. On the other hand, you'll see my severity. If you do not make amends, get your act back together, and they did from time to time. You see that roller coaster thing in the book of Judges. The fullness of the Gentiles has come in refers to the millennium. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written. Again, a distinction must be made between simply racial, religious Israel and regenerate racial Israel, like categories of Jews. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Okay, what we were looking at here. Down to point 19 on page 20. When Paul says all Israel will be saved, he is referring to the elect of Israel. Not just Jews who only possess a genetic connection to the founding patriarchs. That doesn't get them a lot. And certainly doesn't get them off of the hook with regard to eternal condemnation. This, of course, will ensue just after the rapture of the church, or it'll kick in, and the onset of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is all of human history, from the rapture, includes the trib, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and the Gog and Magog affair. And, in conclusion, the exclamation point at the end, the removal of the physical present earth creation in lieu of a new one. As an example, the Jews who exit America to avoid the coming Holocaust will be made up of believers in Christ. We were noticing that Sunday when we looked at Jeremiah 50, verses 4 through 8, 19, we looked at 19 and following, just drawing some things out and did a little brief background thing on the fact that the Babylon of Jeremiah 50 and 51 is prophetic Babylon. It's a nation, an end-time nation, that has certain characteristics that would only point to the United States. No other nation fulfills these qualifications, not the least of which is a nation built on immigration. Show me another one. Yes, people migrate and move around, but you know, these nations around the world, they're made up of these people and not diverse people from all over all the points of the compass. No way. America is the melting pot, as they called it. You didn't call anybody else that. Israel illustrates it a little bit because the Jews in captivity have come back from the nations and taken on the characteristics physiologically and otherwise of the nations that their ancestors spent all this time in. It was that was one of those things that was very apparent to me when I was in Israel, because I saw them of all the I saw a lot of the different racial types, and they were as Jewish can be. And they can check that out on anybody that claims to be Jewish today by a DNA run that someone had brought to my attention, that one of the things they can determine by examining, and they did this with the Jews that were in the ghettos of Germany during the Hitler period. They checked their DNA. You know what they found out? They found out they all came from one of four mothers. That's hilarious. And this program that presented this wasn't trying to prove the Bible at all. They just backed into it. They backed into it. Not two mothers. ancient ancestor, but four. Now, how many wives did Jacob have? Was it four? Yeah. And that's where the 12 tribes came from. And you can see it documented in Genesis. Which mother gave birth to which son that whose name is heads up one of the tribes? Go in, look, say, I want to know who Issachar was born to. So Israel is an ongoing miracle. Any way you slice it, nobody that had been dispersed like this would have survived their identity and their uniqueness and made a comeback to the land that they were evicted from centuries ago. That there's another proof of the validity and the integrity of your Bible. Absolutely is. And we're privileged to live at a time when Israel has been a nation for a good long stretch. A lot is happening in that regard. And all this talk about a so-called, well, it's not so-called in the sense it doesn't exist, but the idea of a third temple. Because they only count three. Solomon's, the one at Jesus' day, Herod's, because he put so much money and effort into it, and the Trib Temple. It'll be very short-lived. And then there'll be a millennial temple. Anyway, the Jews will leave America, and they will leave as believers. Not that there hasn't been Jews, but it's been a trickle, not a torrent, of Jews leaving the United States, where the greatest population and concentration of Jews right now exists on the face of the earth is in these United States. I read, and I think it was in Israel 365, I think it read 60, that they calculate 63%. And they have a whole organization in their government that's designed just to enable and help Jews get back to Israel. They are aggressive and trying to talk them into leaving and getting back to where they need to be physically. And that and there's a name for it. I don't have it in front of me right now. That organization that's dealing with getting the exiles back. And if you study the whole history and read from the time that they started coming back and the different countries they came back from and why they came back from, usually it had to do with things became unlivable for them due to anti-Semitism and what have you in the nations that they were in. Just like right now, the current batch that they're telling you can make a donation to help them on that webpage, they're coming out of the Ukraine because of all the turmoil and war there. But what I'm dealing here with the ones coming and what their mental attitude is going to be like these Jews before the rapture, the Jews after the rapture. Are going to come back and be singing the praises of Jesus Christ. Like they should have been doing all these centuries. There is a 50:28, there is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon. Babylon is code for the United States. It is code. We have some friends in the local church that are located in West Babylon, New York, on Long Island. West Babylon. So the name pervades. The ancient Babylon was basically a city. Yes, there was outlying area, but it's basically a city on the Euphrates River, and it wasn't overthrown violently ever. It just went into decline. There was the Persian period, and then after that, it's this gradual decline, until, what is it today? An archaeological ruin in Iraq. There's a sound of refugees and fugitives. Fugitive? A fugitive is somebody that's running from something. last time I checked. A fugitive from the law. Okay? They're on the run. So they're on the run. You bet. Or what they're on the run from. The impending coming nuclear holocaust that'll take America out in 1 hour of one day. Not that everyone will die on that day. It's just the history, it's over. It's over. That's the last of it. No more history after that of any kind. And everyone who stays will ultimately die quickly or slowly under nuclear poisoning or just be vaporized into the atmosphere. But everyone will be told by an angel, get out of Babylon while you can. Here's your window of opportunity to escape and go back to your homeland where your native people came from. I think I'd get further away than Canada and Mexico or Cuba. To declare in Zion the vengeance. Vengeance is payback. They are going to articulate it. This is why America is going down. Their eyes are going to be open and they're going to be saying this. The vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for His temple. I haven't quite figured that one out. What temple are we talking about? Maybe it'll come to me. 51:5. For neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God, the Lord of the armies, although their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. A contrast between America and Israel. Their land's full of evil. There's nice people over there. There's generous people there. But there's corruption. Okay. Their religion's corrupt. We like the morality part, and they keep the rituals, trying to keep them all going, observe the holidays. That isn't good enough. And then there's a lot of Jews that are very liberal. In fact, the current leader, which conservatives have hailed, Netanyahu, he says he doesn't have any problem with the LGBT thing. And leave it alone. Well, I've been trying to teach you this. In the book of Revelation, as late as the middle of the tribulation, that the land is like Sodom and Egypt. Now, I get the Sodom part. That's easy. What's the Egypt part? What's the Egypt connection? I think it is the ancient system that is Masonic in its origin. They have layout. They have Masonic stuff all over in Jerusalem. The layout of their Supreme Court, their various things. It's just like Washington D.C. It's no accident the way that city was laid out. Masons. Anyway, 51:5-10. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come, let us recount in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Now they're talking about the Lord in the right way, in the right context. And something that I see in the news and have seen of recent, if you look at the history, from the fall of the Soviet Union, their economy was a shambles. Communism doesn't work. Their military arsenal and all that, it was in bad shape, to say the least. But with the rise of the new order in Russia leadership, they have come roaring back. God's greased their skids. They have weapons of mass destruction today in the form of missiles, the like of which we don't have. But you're not going to get this on the mainline news today in America. What are you wasting your time with those morons for? It's just constant disinformation. hiding and Putin's in big trouble. This thing in Ukraine's not going to work. And that's their. This is our propaganda. We'll see. Putin broke from the New World Order thing. He's got his problems. They've got their problems in Russia. Well, who doesn't? He's not, on the surface at least, anti-Christian, calling for. Yeah, he's not that. Oh, excuse me. Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quivers. This indicates an abundance of nuclear weapons, whether they're located on a submarine, land-based, or what have you. Sharpen the arrows. A sharp arrow. Fill the quivers. That would be like silos or places where the missiles are located. Fill them. This is a divine decree from heaven. So God has blessed the science community and the development of these weapons of mass destruction in Russia. A lot of talk currently about the potential of stepping into nuclear war. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. You got to know history to understand what the Medes were the Persians were the cousins, if you will. And the Medes were noted in the Persian army and conquest of being superb archers. There's a military patch that Americans have worn that deal with missiles and things of this nature, and there's a patch right on their arm with a flaming arrow. Okay? So if you're going to use code, what would be the best weapon in any of these arsenals that would illustrate this? It would be arrows. Flaming arrows to boot. Because his purpose is against the Babylon to destroy it, for it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. There's that repeated again. Vengeance for his temple. As I've said, I don't have that nailed down. Verse 45. Come forth from her midst, my people. That's the call. And each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. You cannot stay in the United States or you'll be destroyed. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint. Because it would be a real big decision just to pull up stakes and leave everything, jobs, properties, whatever, and having relatives and others that are crying and they're not going to go, and all this pressure that would bear upon any human being that would make the decision to exit these United States. Because to do so is to be in the directive and geographical will of God, ultimately land in the geographical will of God. Not that things out there are that inviting. Well, Western Europe's wonderful, isn't it? Going to be run by the Antichrist. But the thing is, do God's will. Get where you need to be. It's the old story. If you're not physically where you need to be, get where you need to be. Get in the vicinity of an adjusted local church and stick. Stick. Don't, I can go here and do this and do that. Okay, knock yourself out. And then when you get there, make it your priority to arrange your life through prayer so that God will make it relatively easy for you to be here three times a week. Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, how hard is that? You know, the old saying, where there is a will, there is a way. And people will travel distances, do all kinds of things, just at the prospect of making, you know, a bundle of money or get to their favorite ecological environment. They like the mountains. They like the seashore or whatever it is. They find a way. And if these believers are doing what they're supposed to do, God will grease their skids, bless them, He's got all kinds of levers he can pull and make it possible for people to exit these United States. So this whole prophecy in 50 and 51 is cyclic. It cycles. It comes back to there's a topic, and it comes back to that topic. Then it goes back to the other topic. It's not all necessarily in chronological order, but it's look at how it's written out in your Bible. And I haven't got every last little detail in all this nailed down, like I said about the temple, vengeance for the temple. What has the United States done that involves a Jewish temple? Well, maybe it's you know, as obvious as the nose on my face. Does it have to do with this third temple, and we're doing things that make it difficult for the Jews to move in that direction, or is it the heavenly temple, or what is it? I just say that. I'm just being honest with you. But it doesn't change the picture here. It's a detail. It's an important one, but it's a detail. So ultimately, in 37, Babylon will become a heap of ruins. Look at all the buildings, all the cities, all the stuff around. Ruins. Dilapidated, fallen down, blown apart buildings. Ruins, shopping malls, skyscrapers, big complexes, whole subdivisions, ruins. An object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. And that preceding verse, thus says the Lord. This is a divine pronouncement. You know what these thus says the Lord's are, don't you? It's his decrees. He decrees these details. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea. That doesn't mean the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans are going to be without water, crying out loud. It means commerce that comes to our country made in China, made in Italy, wherever it is from. I'm always amazed. All this stuff, so much of this stuff we get today, well, where'd that product come from? Overseas. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. I gave you 45. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord, so that your heart does not grow faint, and you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land. And after that, a report in another year. That gives 1-2 years. Rapture, 1 year after, 2 years after. And then you're right on the threshold of it, and violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. So, there's a lot of repetition in there, but It's a big deal. Revelation 17. That's the Catholic Church. Revelation 18, 4. This whole chapter is devoted to the U.S. of A. All the details in it. And again, there are other prophecies in the Old Testament beyond the big one, the big volume-wise, is Jeremiah 50 and 51, but there's prophecies in Isaiah as well. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, this is a pronouncement, like comes right out of the sky. Come out of her, my people, calling on believers who have been evangelized so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven. This is the Tower of Babel motif. It's a figure. The Tower of Babel. Build this thing. They're vain and stupid building project so that it'll reach all the way to heaven. But so this, but this is sins piling up. And when they get to a certain point, then the judgment that follows will match the crime. Exactly. Not be overdone, but will match the crime perfectly, the punishment. And God has remembered her iniquities. And so forth. With the destruction of America, the foreign merchants of the country will weep and mourn over her. Most people in heaven and on earth are going to be dancing in the streets. They are. It says it here in this. They are going to be celebrating that when we go down. Except there are exceptions. Exception number one. It's going to hit the English people hard. Our mother. England is our mother nation. 13 colonies. What were they? They were English. Great Britain. So they won't be happy. But the rest of the nations will be. And we'll celebrate this. We've lost favor with a lot of peoples out there. They're fed up with us. Right now. They're fed up. They once weren't that way. But things have changed. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. This is the dumping ground for all of this merchandise that comes from the nations to the shores of the United States from overseas. Big ships out there, cargo ships, loaded with stuff. That's what largely fills up your Walmarts. I have a lot of products that came from overseas. I have a lot that came from, you know, I'll dry up your sea and I'll dry up internal commerce. That was also in that passage I didn't touch on much. Cargoes of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls. Somebody was telling me where the most expensive, and we were naming different stones, gems, where they came from. Where the best rubies come from. India. The best emeralds. Russia. I didn't know that. Etc. Somebody was telling me this. Another one. Lapsus lazuli or whatever it is. Afghanistan. Fine linen. Purple, silk, scarlet. And every kind of citron wood. And every article of ivory, every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine. Look at all the foreign wine that comes in here. And olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses, chariots. That would be automobiles or things. Because you have to have code. What would anybody read the Bible? They couldn't say automobiles. You couldn't say trucks. So look at all the manufacturing of all the different, and of course we've exported out a lot of stuff that used to be built. You know, there was a day when Detroit was quite a place. It's a dump now. Detroit, it was considered one of the nicest, most desirable cities in the United States. This is decades and decades ago, in the 50s and back then, that this was one of the most desirable cities to live in for a job, for cleanliness, and for all that went on up there. Now it's trashed largely. A lot of these cities, they've lost their charm. Cargoes of chariots and slaves and human souls. Whoa. So this is the underworld of trafficking, human trafficking. That's ongoing. Of children and different things going on with these evildoers. And they won't shut it down. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all the things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, which nuclear contamination fits this to a T. Weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste." It's radioactive, it's trash. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance. They take a big hit. We're crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" And so forth and so on. Another group that rejoices, "We'll all be in heaven then. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. He's fulfilled his word." So we will be high-fiving and celebrating when the second seal is broken. The rider on the red horse. All this today is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing on here, 22, Paul once again appeals to Scripture to support the doctrine of Israel's physical and spiritual reestablishment in a quotation taken from Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, and the last part of it from Jeremiah 31, 34. Remember back during Paul's day, they didn't have chapter and verse. Thank God someone invented that. We would be up a creek running around trying to find stuff, wouldn't we? Somebody put the Bible in chapter and verse. That way to go. And then, of course, there was the printing press. That made a big difference. I didn't read the Zechariah one above, but I've read it recently, coming from the land of the north and all that. So, it's a little after 9. I'll let you go. I just want to let you know that I try to be sensitive to the weather conditions here. And if it's violently cold and wind blowing like mad, we'll probably cancel. It doesn't take, ice and treacherous streets and sidewalks for me to cancel if we have to. We will cancel. I'll make the judgment. Hopefully, they'll be minimized, but who knows what this winter will hold for us. We'll do what we have to do. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, encourage us to take your word very, very seriously. In Christ's name, amen.